The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
And now, The Trumpet Daily with Stephen Flurry.
Well, in Europe, there are many nations. They speak different languages. They're divided by various languages. They're divided by different national aspirations and national patriotisms and different currencies.
Where a little under 60% of our laws come from Brussels, that seems to be the best figure. How powerful the EU is and how deep its reach is. It affects everybody in Britain's daily life.
Herbert Armstrong said back in 1973 that Britain's entry into the European community portends a tragic situation.
A date fraught with ominous potentialities. For that date marked the United Kingdom's entry into the European community.
It's going to be faced with a dilemma, Mr. Armstrong said in 1973. Would it be immersed into an imperialistic United States of Europe? Or would it hold on to that heritage, that culture, that British culture?
Now, Britain is going to leave Europe. We know that. Bible prophecy tells us that. Mr. Armstrong warned for years that Britain would leave the European Union.
Notice what Mr. Armstrong had to say. This is in 1956. Writing this in 1956. Probably Germany will lead and dominate the coming United States of Europe, but Britain will be no part of it.
And all of this was chronicled. All of this was talked about. All of it was talked about ahead of time. In The Plain Truth. In The United States and Britain in Prophecy, that book went out to 6 million people. And of course, Mr. Armstrong wrote about these things because of many, numerous prophecies. So we know this. These things are being fulfilled. We don't know absolutely for sure if it's going to happen on June 23rd, Britain being no part of it, that is. But it's coming. The handwriting is on the wall. It is in the future. Britain's not going to be part of it. That's a little montage of what we've been talking about for so many years, based upon statements made by Herbert Armstrong 60 years ago, six decades. You've seen what's been happening in the news with the UK referendum, now decided. And what is the biggest headline today? Well, it should be what Herbert Armstrong said 60 years ago. It should be what he said in 1956. Germany is the economic and military heart of Europe. Probably Germany will lead and dominate the coming United States of Europe. But Britain will be no part of it. That's Herbert Armstrong in 1956. That's Herbert Armstrong 60 years ago. He said in Mystery of the Ages, this was in the last year of his life, the soon coming resurrected Holy Roman Empire, a United States of Europe, a union of 10 nations, he said. And then later on, while he was talking about that resurrection, the final one, and he said later, Britain will not be in that empire soon to come. And so, as you heard there with the montage, we've been consistently repeating that same message my father said a few years ago. We've said for many years, Britain would not be part of the final European Union. We've said this for many, many years. That's the biggest headline today. You think about what you receive as far as revelation, truth, understanding, wisdom. You think about what comes over the airwaves from this program and others on KPCG, or what you read at thetrumpet.com or The Trumpet Magazine. You talk about headline after headline after headline. to describe all of these events 6 decades in advance? Really? If you think about the keynote prophecy of Herbert Armstrong, this signature prophecy, and the various components of this signature prophecy, for one, Germany to be the dominant force, the leader of the United States of Europe, the seventh and final resurrection of the Holy Roman Empire. That's one of them. One of the key points. Well, the fact that it's named the Holy Roman Empire brings out another key point, that it would have this spiritual binding force. There's more of that to come, of course. Also, he talked about Europe needing a confidence-inspiring leader. My father's picked up on that and been repeating it as well for years. The Daniel 8 man. Read Daniel 8, 23. But then another key component of this prophecy, Britain will be no part of it. I just want for you, amid all these headlines, all of these front pages in the UK and around the world, I want you to think about the pace of prophetic events, the pace, and how it's going to accelerate now. Mr. Armstrong wrote back in 1968, "Have you noticed that as conditions grow worse and worse in the world, in America, in Britain, that this work of God grows constantly stronger and stronger and more powerful?" That's what you're seeing. God amplifying the message coming from this church. The growth and the development of this church getting stronger and stronger and more powerful. Even as we see the conditions in this world getting worse and worse. 2 Timothy 3:13. The verse in 1 John 2, of course, speaks of us entering into the last hour. That happened in 2001. As my father writes in his booklet by that name, The Last Hour, he says 1 John 2:18 puts time. It puts time up on stage as the star. And then he says here, we're running out of time. We're running out of time. Things will never return to the way they were. From now on, we're in the last hour, a time like no other. Now, from a work standpoint, God's work, that is, what an exciting time to be declaring his message, to be dispensing with his truth, to remind people of what he said. He was right. He was right. I'm reminded of that story in 1989 when the Berlin Wall came down and that television station from, I think it was from the Northwest, somewhere in Washington State. It called Pasadena. It called the works headquarters in Pasadena and asked for commentary. You talk about headlines. I mean, this was a station manager who evidently had been watching Mr. Armstrong's programs week after week after week. And then when he saw the wall come down and when he saw Germany uniting, knowing that Mr. Armstrong had prophesied of this, he called the church, he called the Worldwide Church of God and said, hey, this is what you've been saying. This is significant, is it not? And the church officials by that point, Mr. Armstrong had been dead 3 years, they downplayed it. They said, well, now we don't want to get carried away. They had already lost the truth. They had lost the courage to speak out for God. What a shame. And now look at where we are. And now consider what's happened since that wall came down in 1989. As I said at the top, what's the big headline today? What was the big headline in 1989? That station manager in Washington had enough sense to know that, hey, as dramatic as this event is, I mean, to see this wall crumbling, I'm going to call the Worldwide Church of God. I'm going to call this program, The World Tomorrow. I'm going to talk to these officials that have been spot on with their predictions, their prophecies. What an exciting time to be declaring God's truth. All of these prophesied events culminating in the return of Jesus Christ. Well, today there's quite a few happy people in Britain. There's a lot of people in Britain that are very disappointed too. And in a lot of ways, this referendum highlights just how divided the people of Ephraim are. Britain has now voted to exit. And there's a huge amount of uncertainty. You've probably seen some headlines with respect to the British pound. It dropped by, I think, about 10%. The markets in Europe and Asia, lots of uncertainty out there. And then, of course, the world of politics in the UK has been rocked by David Cameron, Prime Minister Cameron, saying this morning that over the next few months he'd be stepping down as Prime Minister. This is what the Prime Minister had today earlier today.
Good morning, everyone. The country has just taken part in a giant democratic exercise, perhaps the biggest in our history. Over 33 million people from England, Scotland, Wales, Northern Ireland, and Gibraltar have all had their say. We should be proud of the fact that in these islands, we trust the people with these big decisions. The British people have voted to leave the European Union, and their will must be respected. Across the world, people have been watching the choice that Britain has made. I would reassure those markets and investors that Britain's economy is fundamentally strong. And I would also reassure Brits living in European countries and European citizens living here that there will be no immediate changes in your circumstances. There will be no initial change in the way our people can travel, in the way our goods can move, or the way our services can be sold. We must now prepare for a negotiation with the European Union. This will need to involve the full engagement of the Scottish, Welsh, and Northern Ireland governments to ensure that the interests of all parts of our United Kingdom are protected and advanced. I'm very proud and very honoured to have been Prime Minister of this country for 6 years. I believe we've made great steps, with more people in work than ever before in our history, with reforms to welfare and education, increasing people's life chances, building a bigger and stronger society, keeping our promises to the poorest people in the world, and enabling those who love each other to get married, whatever their sexuality. But above all, restoring Britain's economic strength. And I'm grateful to everyone who's helped to make that happen. I fought this campaign in the only way I know how, which is to say directly and passionately what I think and feel, head, heart, and soul. I held nothing back. I was absolutely clear about my belief that Britain is stronger, safer, and better off inside the European Union. But the British people have made a very clear decision to take a different path. And as such, I think the country requires fresh leadership to take it in this direction. I will do everything I can as Prime Minister to steady the ship over the coming weeks and months. But I do not think it would be right for me to try to be the captain that steers our country to its next destination. This is not a decision I've taken lightly. But I do believe it's in the national interest to have a period of stability and then the new leadership required. There is no need for a precise timetable today, but in my view, we should aim to have a new Prime Minister in place by the start of the Conservative Party conference in October.
That's Prime Minister Cameron speaking earlier today in the UK following the referendum. Yesterday, Brexit is on, and he'll soon be stepping down. Now, just to highlight the pace of events, it was just a year ago, just 1 year ago, when Mr. Cameron really was on top of the political world in Britain. Last May 2015, Mr. Cameron and his Tory party scored a decisive victory over Labour. Mr. Cameron at the time called that the sweetest victory of all. That was just 13 months ago. The sweetest victory of all. And now he's having to step down, having staked his political career on this Brexit referendum. And he's on the way out. And who will be the next leader in Britain? Some have said Boris Johnson. Again, it highlights the uncertainty. And it also highlights the acceleration of events from a prophetic standpoint. Where is Britain going? And what will its relationship with Europe be like from here on out? As far as this referendum goes, England and Wales voted to leave. Scotland and Northern Ireland voted to stay in. So what does this mean for unity within the UK? Leave aside the fact that there's a new prime minister coming. But what about Northern Ireland status? What about Scotland? Already there are those calling for another Scottish referendum. And then when you move across the channel, it's going to be fascinating to watch how Europe responds. What do you think the German elites are thinking right now? And then there are those who say that, well, this means the end of the European project. It will be restructured. There's no doubting that. There's no telling how many other nations now will look at Britain and say, well, let's call for a referendum of our own. Europe will downsize. 10 kings give their power to the beast. That's in Revelation 17, verse 12. 10! So when that happens, what will skeptics say then? There is an individual who's familiar with the teachings of this church, familiar with what Mr. Armstrong preached, who told one of our ministers years ago that, well, maybe I'll consider your church and maybe I'll consider the message that you're preaching once the UK is on the outside, as you've been saying it would be. Well, that's today. That's today. And there's other things that are about to happen that Mr. Armstrong also addressed in so much detail yesterday on the plane. I was going through, he was right. It's just incredible to think about the detail in these prophecies. Well, Mr. Cameron makes it seem like they're in pretty good shape, even though he desperately wanted to stay in and to extend his political future in the UK as prime minister. He said the UK is still fundamentally strong. Is that true? Is that the truth? Last year, Britain borrowed an equivalent of 4.4% of its gross domestic product. The only other EU nations that had higher borrowing levels than Britain were Spain and Greece, and their economies aren't exactly fundamentally strong. You look at the trade war that could come from this. You look at the sickness from within. You look at the division, as I said, between England and Scotland. But the sickness within, that's there. And that's prophesied too, Theodore Dalrymple. He wrote a few years ago, British youth lead the Western world in almost all aspects of social pathology, from teenage pregnancy to drug taking, from drunkenness to violent criminality. British children are much likelier to have a television in their bedroom than a father living at home, he said. One-third of them never eat a meal at a table with another member of their household. Family is not the word for the social arrangements of the people in the areas from which the rioters mainly come. He's talking about some of the rioting that's happened in recent years. It's a house divided. Is this a new day? Is a new day dawning for Britain? As those in favor of Brexit have been saying, let's break away. Let's put our faith, our trust in Britain. Well, sad to say, this is not a new day that's dawning for Britain. The road ahead is not going to be better. If anything, this referendum, as I said, highlights the division. 75% of the voters under the age of 24, they want it to stay. The older ones, the older Brits, they want to leave. The ones in the cities, the metropolitan areas around London, they wanted to stay. The ones from the more rural areas, they wanted to leave. England wants to stay. England wants to leave. Scotland wants to stay. The Bible says the whole head is sick. From the sole of the foot, even unto the head, there's no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. You look at Britain's problems. You look at its sickness. It's from head to toe. And we've talked recently on this program about the prophecy in Isaiah 3, God taking away the leaders, the mighty men, the men of war, the judges, the prophets, the prudent, the honorable men, the counselors. Number of prophecies in the book of Hosea. God says, woe unto them, for they've fled from me. They've left God. Well, the Bible, as I say, has so much to say about what is coming, what is prophesied. I mean, this is just another prophetic step, a huge one at that, along the way. One that Herbert Armstrong talked about 60 years ago, even before Britain entered into the economic union in 1973. Mr. Armstrong was saying it in 1956, and then in 73 when it joined the union. He said, this is a tragic situation. This is not going to work out well for Britain. He was right. Isn't it about time that the commentators, the journalists, the station managers, like that one in 1989? Isn't it about time that they start considering what really is the big headline here? It's about time that people start digging into the United States and Britain in prophecy. You talk about laying it all out there in so much vivid detail. There's other works that we produce, of course, too. The Holy Roman Empire and Prophecy. It's an exciting time to be supporting God's work. Getting this message out to this dark, dying world. And giving people hope. Giving people answers. Showing people the way. Those that would humble themselves before God, and look to God's servants, to God's church, to God's work. When we come back, we'll talk more about just how this referendum from yesterday really has jolted the world. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. We'll be right back.
This is KPCG-FM, and this is the Trumpet Daily.
Is prophecy real? Is it anything more than a collection of imaginations, vagaries, and wishful thinking? The answer is no. Human beings have never dreamed up an authentic prediction of the future. The human mind simply isn't capable of it. Such a feat would require godlike power. What about Bible prophecy? Is Bible prophecy real? Is it different than the litany of other failed prophecies that have been discarded throughout human history? Unlike other books, particularly those books that claim to predict the future, the Bible has endured for thousands of years. Something about this book has transcended thousands of generations of human history. And this book, the Holy Bible, claims to predict the future. It claims its prophecies come not from the minds of human beings, but from the mind of their Creator, from the mind of God. Prove the Bible's prophecies for yourself. If you cannot honestly prove them to be true, discard the Bible and move on with your life. But if you can, what a spectacular book the Bible becomes. Request Herbert W. Armstrong's free book, The United States and Britain in Prophecy. This book will examine the core Bible prophecies and compare them to history and current events. More than 6 million people have requested this amazing and easy-to-read book. Order The United States and Britain in Prophecy by Herbert W. Armstrong and prove Bible prophecy for yourself. Trumpet Daily.
Dare to dream that the dawn is breaking on an independent, united kingdom.
Whether to remain or leave, do think about the hopes and dreams of your children and grandchildren. They can't undo the decision we take.
10 p.m., polls close and Britain's fate will be sealed.
But this is the single most important political decision that any of us will take in our lifetimes.
We see this as being an incredibly important decision.
It's a concern, by the way, not just for the UK, it's a concern for the world.
Implications for the whole world.
And UK is going to be in the back of the queue.
The biggest domestic risk to financial stability.
This is something which could create a domino effect, isn't it? If the British were to go...
So you could have the beginning of the end of the European Union.
This is history in the making.
British people have spoken and the answer is, we're out.
British people have made the decision.
We must respect
making our relationship with the European Union as of 6 o'clock this morning changed fundamentally.
It will take some time for the United Kingdom to establish new relationships with Europe.
I do not think it would be right for me to try to be the captain that steers our country to its next destination. We should aim to have a new Prime Minister in place by the start of the Conservative
Party. June the 23rd go down in our history as our Independence Day!
Everything now is up for change because of this decision, and however you look at it, it's an earthquake that has happened, and what happens after earthquakes, well, we wait to see.
So much uncertainty is brought out there in that montage as well. Everything is up to change. Everything is up to change. I was flying yesterday from the UK back to the States here. I'm in the studio in Edmond this morning, and even on the way to the airport in London, we were passing by a number of billboards, most of them saying vote leave, but there was one of them that had a phrase above it saying I think it was halten Sie German advance, kind of a mixture of Deutsch and English together. Stop the German advance, vote leave. Just the fact that you would see signs like that today. I mean, that highlights, doesn't it? Another aspect or key component to this prophecy, this signature prophecy. What's happening in Europe? What a jolt this should be to God's people. A shocking turnaround in some respects. I mean, it was expected to be close, but when I arrived in Minneapolis and saw the news from the exit polls, it was supposedly 52-48 in favor of staying in the union. Nigel Farage had already conceded defeat. And then I get back to Edmond, or arrive at Edmond a few hours later, and see headlines like a Drudge, "Global Order Jolted." The Drudge Report had its siren going that it rarely uses. What a jolt. After 43 years, the UK voted to leave the European Union. Yesterday, Britain essentially reversed 50 years of British foreign policy. It was a geopolitical earthquake. A cataclysmic development, one commentator said. Think about the pace of prophetic events. We touched on the impact that this will have on Britain, or the fact that this is not going to make things better for Britain when looking at the road ahead. But what about Europe now? What will it do, or how will it impact Europe? Well, for one, Britain's no longer going to be able to slow down the emergence of the beast power. This super state is coming. And there, as I covered earlier this week, there are those in Europe who are already saying it's just as well that Britain leaves, because we can restructure things. We can really come together. Never mind those who say Britain is, or rather Europe is, falling apart. It's just going to come down to those 10. One of the former prime ministers of Belgium, he was quoted earlier this month as saying the whole discussion and referendum around British membership is an opportunity. That's the way some in Europe see this. This is an opportunity. As I said, it would be interesting to think about what the German elites are discussing behind closed doors. I'm sure there are plenty of voices saying this is our opportunity. It said in that EU Observer piece, no matter what the result of the referendum is, it will lead to changes in the European architecture. Well, now Britain has voted to leave. And the changes that we're about to see in the European architecture, we can get a pretty good idea of what those changes will be, of how they'll play out, just because of Bible prophecy. A German EU commissioner, he said to Politico, "My expectation would be that the European project would gather new dynamics. That is, if Britain leaves. I believe we will gather more power and strength. I think we're going to get more powerful, stronger, if Britain leaves." That's what's about to happen. That's the next step. It's inevitable. It's prophesied. In reading through, he was right yesterday. Again, I'm struck by the level of detail in these articles, most of them by Herbert Armstrong. This one here from 1980, you can see this on page 3 of He Was Right. This is 9 years. Mr. Armstrong's writing this 9 years before the Berlin Wall came down. This is 9 years before the Iron Curtain was removed. He said this, "It now looks entirely feasible that Yugoslavia may be included in this revived Roman Empire. Also, the Pope's native Poland and Romania and possibly Hungary. Add Austria, Germany, Italy, Spain, Portugal, and France. There will be a union of 10 nations in the general area of the medieval Roman Empire. In the new United Europe, He was saying this before the Iron Curtain came down, the two legs of the empire, the West and the East. And now that even some of those Soviet satellite nations would end up being in the European Union. Now that's happened. That's already happened. That has been fulfilled. What he said in 1980, 36 years ago. He went on and said this, probably Holland, Denmark, Norway, and Sweden will not be included in the final 10. Probably not. There are already those in Holland or the Netherlands calling for a referendum. As I say, how will this affect other nations who begin to think, well, if Britain can do it, we can do it too. We don't like all of these rules and regulations imposed upon us in a very undemocratic way. Probably Holland, Denmark, Norway, and Sweden will not be included in the final 10. Ireland may be. This is Mr. Armstrong talking in 1980. Ireland may be. Britain will not. How could he be so emphatic? How could he be so dogmatic? Where did he get this understanding? Ireland may be, Britain will not be. And then he said here, I've been forecasting this revived Roman Empire publicly since February 1934. Now it may go together suddenly, rapidly. Well, maybe it didn't happen just as suddenly and as rapidly as he was thinking. But when you look at what's happening today, when you look at what happened after he died in 1986, and the Bible says in Revelation 10, we entered into a period of no more delay. We'll look at that chapter here in just a second. When you step back and just look at the big picture, it's happening suddenly. It's happening rapidly. Here's another one. This is from 1956. Mr. Armstrong writing again, talking about what would happen in Germany and how it would come to dominate the continent. This is in 1956. This is one decade after the end of World War II. He says, this time, the Germans plan to sidestep the causes of past defeats. Instead of exhausting their own strength by holding European nations as captives at the expense of vital Gestapo manpower, they plan to head and dominate a United States of Europe and add the manpower of those nations to their own military divisions. They're not going to do it in the typical way this time around. Invading a nation with the Gestapo, with an army, bringing them into submission. This time around, it's going to be by economic dominance. It's going to be by political dominance. And then finally, after it draws in those 10 kings that give their power to the beast, just as Mr. Armstrong said there, they add the manpower of those nations to their own military divisions. And then you have that 10-nation consortium, that German-dominated beast power. Now that prophecy is only going to accelerate the formation of those 10, I mean. Now that Britain has exited, just as Mr. Armstrong said they would. Pretty amazing how much insight he had, just simply because he looked into the Bible and he believed the prophecies of God. This one in 1952, the United States is determined now to let nothing stand in the way of building up a rearmed, independent Germany. That's America's part in this acceleration of prophecy. You heard the bit in that montage. President Obama threatening the UK. You're going to go to the back of the line if you leave the Union. Look, we're pro-European Union here. We're pro-Germany. We want to do everything we can to help Germany build up its military, to help Germany rearm to allow for Germany to dominate, which is exactly what America and Britain said would not happen following World War II. He was right, Mr. Armstrong. He was right. Let's look at this prophecy in Revelation chapter 10. Again, we entered into this period of no more delay. I've already mentioned that verse in 1 John 2 about the last hour, more recently, entering into the last hour. But let's step back and just look at the bigger picture here. Revelation chapter 10 and verse 1, it says, "And I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head, and his face was as it were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire, and he had in his hand a little book open. And he set his right foot upon the sea, and his left foot on the earth." So here is referenced this little book, this message that concerns the entirety of this earth. That's what the message coming from God's church involves. I mean, it's a message for the world. What a warning Malachi's message was for God's people. It certainly was aimed at the brethren of God that had fallen away from the truth, but it's a message for the whole earth as well. Verse 3, "And cried with a loud voice, as when a lion roars, and when he had cried, seven thunders uttered their voices, seven thunderous roars, like from a lion." Other prophecies talk about division in the church. Amos chapter 2, one church saying, "Don't prophesy. Don't prophesy." "Hey," the station manager says, the wall's coming down, and you talked about this for decades." "Well, now hold on a second," the Worldwide Church of God official said. The official that was trained at the feet of Herbert Armstrong, that maybe went to Ambassador College himself, that graduated, that went into the ministry. "Well, now hold on a second. Let's not get ahead of ourselves. Let's not blow this out of proportion, these fulfilled prophecies. Let's not raise our voice. Let's just talk in a very soft and scholarly manner. We thank you for your compliment. Prophesy not," they say. And then the faithful remnant, their response is, "Well, who can but prophesy? Who can but prophesy? How can you do anything but prophesy?" Verse 4, "And when the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, Seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered, and write them not. And the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hand to heaven and swore by him that lives forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that therein are, and the earth and the things that therein are, and the sea and the things which are therein, and that there should be time no longer," or as the Revised Standard Version says, "no more delay." There's not going to be any more delay. Mr. Armstrong, even in the midst of all these prophecies he was talking about in 1956, in 1973, in 1980, in 1985, he said also there in the 80s that, well, for some reason, God's been holding things back. And we don't see the formation of this beast power. Not yet. Not openly, anyway. There's a lot going on behind the scenes. I mean, think about that quote from 1980. Mr. Armstrong saying, look, some of these satellite, these Eastern European satellite, Soviet satellite nations, they're going to swing over into the European combine. And oh, by the way, Holland's probably not going to be a part of it. Norway, Denmark, Sweden, Britain, definitely not. Then he dies in 1986. We enter into a period of no more delay. The Berlin Wall comes crashing down in 1989. Soviet Union collapses, paving the way for a newly united and powerful Europe. and Europe now is a force. A force to be reckoned with. It's a mixture of iron and clay, as we said earlier this week. Daniel 2 brings this out. But it has the iron strength. It sure does. Read He Was Right. Please read it. The United States and Britain in Prophecy. Go through it. Well, you see what's happening in Europe, and then together with that, what's happening in the United States of America and in what was once Great Britain. There's still many in our nations that are very optimistic, that are talking about these headlines as if, well, this is a good thing. I mean, people are, they're tired of the establishment. They're upset about the status quo, and so this is great. If we can get Donald Trump in America and then a new prime minister in Britain and then Britain's out of Europe, I mean, we can go our own way. A new day dawns. Sadly, the prophecies inform us of some very dark days ahead for the United States and Britain. Verse 8 says, "And the voice which I heard from heaven spoke unto me again and said, Go and take the little book which is open in the hand of the angel, which stands upon the sea and upon the earth. And I went unto the angel and said to him, Give me the little book. And he said to me, Take it and eat it up. And it shall make your belly bitter, but it shall be in your mouth sweet as honey. And I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it up. And it was in my mouth sweet as honey. And as soon as I had eaten it, my belly was bitter," it says, there toward the end of Revelation 10. All of that leading into the commission that God's given to His church. In these latter days, verse 11, "And he said to me, You must prophesy again about many peoples and nations and tongues and kings." I mean, the church is right at the center of all of these activities, these affairs, these events, these prophecies as they're unfolding. And that, as I said, from God's perspective, that's the headline today. That's the headline that God has for this world. I sent my end-time servant. He came in the spirit and power of Elijah. And look at what he said. Examine what he said in 1956. I mean, that's who gets the glory here, is the great God who inspired him, who recorded these prophecies, who canonized these great prophecies in the Holy Bible. Daniel 2, Daniel 7, Revelation 13, Revelation 17. We're getting to the point now. No more delay. God says here in Revelation 10. Coming into the last hour. Let's just conclude over in the book of Daniel. Daniel 12. Daniel chapter 12 and verse 1. I read a couple of these verses just the other day. But it says here in Daniel, "And at that time shall Michael stand up, that the great prince which stands for the children of your people. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time your people shall be delivered, everyone that's found written in the book." Written in a book of remembrance. God remembers those who remember him. That's what it says in Malachi's message to God's church today, the little book. God remembers you if you remember him. I was told by one of our listeners, of an acquaintance he has at work that goes way back to when I was a youth in this church area here in central Oklahoma. And this supervisor comes to find out that our listener is in the Philadelphia Church of God. And he says, "Well, hey, I'm familiar with Stephen Fleury. We go way back to YOU days and played sports together and so on." So he remembers me. But does he remember God? Does that minister who took the phone call from the station manager in Washington State, does he remember God? Because God says, if you remember these prophecies, if you remember the work of Herbert Armstrong, and of course there's a lot that goes into remembering, as we well know, it's holding on to these truths. Hold fast, it says in 2 Thessalonians 2. If you hold on, God will hold on to you and protect you and remember you. Verse 2 says, and many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life and some to everlasting contempt. I mean, God's evaluating our level of interest in His truth, His plan, His prophecies. It says, and they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. Here is a group of God's people, a faithful remnant, a little flock, that is out there busily working to turn people back to the truth. These many prophecies, Herbert Armstrong wrote, this is one of his final co-worker letters from 1985. He asked, what about us individually? What about you? He says, remember, if you are faithful, if your heart is in God's work, He promises to take care of you, to supply your need. Those in the world have no such assurance for the future. Britain has no such assurance. Like I said, everything about the news from yesterday, there are signs of uncertainty for the people of Britain. The people of this world have no such security. Mr. Armstrong says, how grateful we should be for it. No matter what the national or world conditions, God Almighty will keep His work going forward and growing and multiplying in power and scope. That's what we see. I mean, that's prophesied too. Just like it was prophesied for Britain to be on the outside of the continent, the European Union. Just like it was prophesied for Germany to dominate the now forming beast power in the heart of Europe. So too has God prophesied to multiply the power and the scope of His work. In these latter days, Mr. Armstrong says, you and I are servants of God. We are His instruments. He's using us in preparing for Christ's coming and His kingdom. That's where all these prophecies lead. He's using us to prepare for Christ's coming and His kingdom. The living Jesus Christ is the head of the work. He directs it. If we're willing to give ourselves to Him, willing to sacrifice for Him, He'll see that we're prospered and financially able and spiritually able to keep up our part until His tremendous mission is accomplished. God backs His work. God backed Herbert Armstrong for decades. He was right. God backs His servant today, my father. The little book, that thunderous message. He's seeing to it that our part in this tremendous mission that He has is being accomplished. Here, all these prophetic events, they're being fulfilled right before our eyes. And God says, look, you in the true church of God, you in the work of God, you supporting the work of God, you're right in the center of it all. Right in the midst of these developments. And what an important mission we have. Think of the responsibilities we have to carry this out, to fulfill God's will, to finish God's work. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. If you'd like to comment on the show, be sure to send your remarks to td@kpcg.fm. Well, that concludes yet another week of programming here on the Trumpet Daily Radio Show, and we'll look forward to seeing you again next weekend.